Are you ready for NHL free agency, Mego?
A little bit. I'm gonna be honest. I'm a little sleep deprived today.
Oh no, why?
I live in South Boston, and the season of fireworks started last night.
Sick brag, bro.
And I have a dog who's very firework sensitive. And when she gets stressed out, she tries to dig a tunnel into the floor. She goes under the bed and she tries to like tunnel to the other side of the world.
Oh boy.
So that was my entire evening. Like a firework would go off a couple blocks away, like just like a dumb cherry bomb. And then under the bed, it'd be like, all right, here we go.
Well, I'll tell you, I thought maybe it was going to be, I saw you were in solidarity with Craig Breslow on the Topo Chico last night. And so maybe I thought maybe it was one too many
those
of those.
Those are non-alcoholic, goofball.
Are they?
You think he's like crushing those at the games?
I think Topo Chico has...
They have an alcoholic one, and they have one that's
so
just...
So the one he was drinking was an
just
NA?
Just a bland old seltzer.
Oh, interesting.
It's not even NA. It's just like a seltzer water.
Oh.
You know, like your Polar or whatever your flavor is.
I thought my guy Brez was getting lit. That's not what was happening?
Honestly, you thought that that's just what I do on Monday nights now?
Wait, so yours was also an NA?
Yes, you worked with
just
me for 2 years.
Seltzer?
You remember me, like,
I don't know,
ripping it up on Monday nights before?
I mean, look.
All right, here we go.
The guy is drunk!
Start off the week. Here we go.
Look, I'd be lying if I said I watched two episodes of The Bear last night with a nice tall boy.
Bro, I can't watch that show.
What?
Have you ever worked at a restaurant?
Yes.
That show is a nightmare.
I've talked to you about this before.
Sick brag, bro.
You want to brag. I famously, I think, am one of the only people, certainly I know, this couldn't happen to many people, who got demoted from busboy all the way down to dishwasher. So that was my restaurant.
What did
experience.
You do? You like clean up the silverware?
No, I missed a shift. And, you know, I was 14 or something like that. I wasn't as I was a little bit of a member of the Red Sox front office in terms of communication. I missed a shift, and I was somewhat, another brag, friendly with the restaurant owner. And they're like, look, we're not going to fire you, but I can't keep you as a busboy. I got demoted to dishwasher.
Listen, you haven't operated in the honorable manner that we expect from our busboys. So now you must be a dishwasher.
Correct.
Dude, that bear show, I can't stand
that
it.
That bear show.
I can't stand it. It's so stressful to me.
It is stressful.
I was very stressed out. Like, I'm very prone to other people's stress. It infects me very quickly. And working in restaurants, I worked in a couple in Boston that... It was just not the environment for me. And I was the person who was supposed to be front of house, you know, like the host that seats everybody. So then
yeah.
I'd be like, I was basically like the jittery member from South Park. What's his name? Tweak?
Tweak, yeah.
Tweak. I was basically like Tweak at the front being like, I think we have a four top that's coming up in 15 minutes. It's not a good look.
All right. Well, so you weren't drinking last night.
No,
that's
I
not
wasn't.
Why you're sleep deprived. It
no,
was your dog.
It was my dog and the fireworks.
Nick and I were talking about this before the show yesterday, actually. Because, Nick, what does your dog do with fireworks?
My golden will run right and get into the tub.
Into the bathtub.
Oh, that's smart.
Okay, so...
The dog thinks there's, like, a real storm coming,
yeah,
so it's going to the
upgraded from
safest
underneath
part.
The bed to now the bathtub.
Yeah, mine goes underneath the bed, and our bed is... Okay, get ready for a sick brag. Our bed frame is on its last legs.
Nice.
So
nice. Look
makes,
at you two.
More of a pun than a brag.
Newlyweds.
It makes
How
me
about
very
that?
Nervous that the dog is under the bed because I'm like, one of these nights the bed's just going to, the bottom legs are going to like collapse on the dog.
Nice.
Who's tunneling to the other side of the world.
Nice. Let me tell you. I'm approaching
your bed frame's just fine,
I'm
Jones.
I'm approaching my 10-year anniversary, and we have a child. Our bed frame couldn't be in better shape. Our bed,
we can do jumping jacks on it.
Our bed frame is pristine. I can sell it back and get
this
full money
back.
This
was an L.L. Bean bed too, so you know that's strong.
That's a lifetime warranty. Shouldn't that be a lifetime warranty?
Probably.
I feel like it should be a lifetime warranty.
We should take
warranty.
That bed back.
It's a good high quality
like,
product.
Look at they'd be like you too. Look at you. You got married on Peaks Island. You know what? We'll upgrade you.
Nice. Charleston not only is toothless these days, he's also basically deaf.
And homeless.
He's basically deaf. He can't hear the fireworks anymore. But back in his days where he could hear the fireworks and they terrified him, he would wedge himself. I said this to Nick yesterday. He would go into the bathroom and wedge himself on like under the toilet.
Okay.
Like hide behind the toilet in the corner of the bathroom where it's completely dark and that's where he would go. When
it's
there are fireworks.
Very sad for them because there's nothing you can do. It's not like you can walk outside in the city and shake your fist in the air and be like, damn kids. Like it's going to go on all week.
But
so
you think at the volume that my wife and I speak at, you would think that it would he would be used to loud noises.
Well, it sounds like there's not a lot of fireworks in the bedroom usually. So
no, that's true. That's true. Maybe on my 10-year anniversary. We'll see. Anyway, so you're not excited for NHL free agency? That's where we came down on that?
I'm more anxious about NBA free agency. Mm. Like after what the Celtics were unable to do with Luke Hornet yesterday, I feel like the grand plan that I thought was going to be very easily executed is not so much. And I'm starting to get a little bit nervous about what plans B and C might be, especially for C, the center. And if Anfernee Simons is going to be around here for a while, like, that's not the worst thing, but it just wasn't what I was expecting. In terms of NHL free agency, it kind of went from the very early stages in terms of Brad Marchand, what's he going to do? It was basically what we expected. We were like, is he going to take a discount to stay in Florida and compete for another cup? I didn't think it was going to be six freaking years. I didn't think that they were going to be like building an old folks for home for him down there. But I guess it is Florida, so it makes sense.
It's on brand for the state. That's true. So NHL free agency gets underway at high noon here on Jones and Keefe. Mego in for Keefe today. NBA free agency started last night. You're referencing Cornette on the way out. He's now a San Antonio Spur. People are very upset about it. Al Horford sounds like, latest reporting that I saw last night and continued through this morning, sounds like Golden State. Very interested, so we'll see what dominoes drop with the Celtics with NBA free agency underway. News could happen at any moment. You can dial us up, 617-779-7937. That's the text line as well. You can interact Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can watch along and chat twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat going on Twitch. And watch on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. Brad Marchand, the details are in. I don't think either of us are surprised he's not a Bruin.
Mm-mm.
I'm surprised at what he got from Florida, meaning what he took from Florida, because there were some rumors going into yesterday that he's going to get, as we talked about, certainly seven, maybe $8 million, maybe north of that. He got 6 years, $32 million, $5.5 million AAV, which is less than the Bruins offered him when he was here. He took less than what the Bruins offered him to stay in Florida and try to win another cup over the next 6 years, keeping that budding dynasty together in Florida. So it's a slap in the face, I think, to Bruins fans who all thought he was coming back. Just, oh, didn't you know his home is in Charlestown? His kids are here. Of course, if he's going to take less anywhere, it would be Boston. Wrong. He took less from Florida than Boston was offering him before they traded him away. And he turned down what sounds like bigger offers from Toronto, Utah, teams like that. So I think as a Bruins fan, it should be a pretty sobering reality. He chose that over here or more money elsewhere.
Especially because I keep hearing, well, he'll always be a Bruin. He'll always be a Bruin. And you always want to feel that way about the guy who won a cup with you. But he might win more cups with Florida. And if he's actually going to play until 43, it does sound crazy on its face. But he played with Chara, who retired when he was, what, 45, 46, like somewhere in that range. So he probably looks at it and goes, if I stay healthy enough and I stay conditioned enough, I can probably make it somewhere close to that. I can at least do 4 years. So I think that it is kind of a slap in the face. I agree with you on that. But at the same time, like, good on him. I hope he does play till 43. I hope he's a little 43-year-old munchkin out there. And he's like, he starts losing height. You know, when people get older, like much older,
yeah, I think
elderly, and they start shrinking, like your grandma always shrinks.
I think it's happening to me.
What did you start at? Like when you were at your peak of height, what was it?
I think I've been, the peak was like 5'10", which I'm not sure I'm still, I think I'm like, I'm decreasing
you're
a little
going
bit.
Is that because you're stooping?
It could just be my like poor posture. It could just be my poor posture.
Stooped over on the ice.
Yeah.
And just like, you know.
Yeah. I think I've been roughly this height since like seventh grade. I haven't back when I was getting demoted.
You were
from
5'10" in seventh
grade?
I'm
a monster in seventh grade, Mego. And then I haven't moved since then. Yeah.
I actually have only
right around,
probably gotten
it,
a height since
it,
seventh grade. But that's normal for girls.
It might correlate with getting demoted to dishwasher. That might have stunted my growth. I'm not sure.
It broke your spirit.
Yeah.
You could no longer, your hormones shut down.
Yeah.
It's so, like, this is as tall as he'll go.
Yeah. I started working in the kitchen. I was smoking. I was drinking coffee. I stopped growing. That might have been what happened. But no, I think it should be a slap in the face on some level to Bruins fans. And if nothing else, it tells you, I think, because what the Bruins would have you believe is they were very interested in him coming back. The door was open for a return. He has family here. He has a home here. He'd be really interested in coming back. That's what they'd have you believe. What I think actually happened is it was a mess with Marchand last year as a captain. And that's not necessarily a reflection on his actions, but, you know, he kind of grew up as the little Dennis the Menace character in the locker room, dressing room, and then all of a sudden Bergeron's gone. He's got to be the adult, and it didn't fly, and guys didn't take him seriously, and I think Pastrnak and his relationship changed based on the scoops from Keefe, and I think it got ugly, and I think Marchand forced his way to Florida. There was no movement clause. I think he could have gone elsewhere. I think he could have gone out west. I think he forced his way to Florida out of animosity. And I think this proves the animosity still exists. He could have had a better offer here, at least way back when they were negotiating. He could have had a better offer here. And he took less to stay in Florida. That might be a smart business move, but there was I don't think it's a good situation between him and the organization right now. And I think it was bad at the end.
I don't think so either. And I'm very curious. Like, I wish there was some reporting that would come out about how deep the conversation, if there was conversation, between the Bruins front office and Marchand was, because I can't imagine it was very extensive. If he actually was looking for a 6-year deal, which is the other side of this, like if he was talking to the Mammoth and Leafs and others, like, and they're offering him 3 years, which would be much more reasonable for most guys when they're 37, and Florida comes out with, and it's, you know, $8 million 3 years or something like that, and Florida comes out with 6 years, like, that does make a different, that sends a different message of, I'm with this team for the long haul, and I'm okay being on the third line or wherever. Like, I'm very happy with my role here, and I'm very happy basically putting roots down here in Florida. And I just think because everybody loved how much he was ingrained in the local community and your area of Charlestown and, like, being that guy and basically growing up in Boston, yeah, it feels a little more personal than you'd probably like to admit. And if you're on the side of the Bruins, you have to look at it and go, well, we kind of let this happen. And, you know, like, you can say that Marchand wasn't a banner captain, or he wasn't, you know, like the perfect Patrice Bergeron style guy. But you also knew that that's who he was all along, and you put him in that position at the end.
So to me, the question now becomes, what do the Bruins do? Because a lot of free agents have been snapped up. I mean, for God's sake, rights were traded yesterday, like the Wild deal out of Toronto with Mitch Marner going to Vegas. Like, a lot of action has already happened in the NHL. Guys have re-upped. So free agency is pretty picked over. But the Bruins do have, well, plenty of space in their top six, right? I feel like their goalie situation, regardless of how you feel about Swayman, is probably set. I feel like they're largely set on the back end. It doesn't mean they won't make a signing or two, or couldn't make a signing, but my guess is they're looking to attack somewhere in their top six and probably another third line type player in free agency. They have almost $13 million in cap space. I'm looking at Bruins cap space on Twitter. So after all the extensions they handed out, Geeky, Joki Haru, Beecher, DiPietro, all those extensions, I think there was another one late last night, minor deal that they signed. They have about $13 million in cap space, a little less. There's not much out there, but here's your top line right now. You ready for it, Mego?
Mm-hmm.
Your top line as it stands today, it is Lindholm centering Morgan Geeky and David Pastrnak. And Pastrnak and Geeky, pretty productive last year. I don't know that I feel great about that line. Lindholm, wildly overpaid and wildly underproductive last year. But okay, that's a representative NHL line. Again, looking at Bruins cap space, your second line currently, Casey Mittelstadt, who they got last year at the deadline, Pavel Zacha on the left side, blank on the right side.
Oh, okay. Well, that's already running into a bit of an issue.
That's a big, giant blank spot. Your third line right now is a total question mark. It's blank next to Frazier Minton, who, again, you acquired at the deadline last year at center, and Patra on the right side. And then you have a fourth line. I could care less about that. You have a couple of massive upgrades that you easily could make. The problem is there's not a lot out there. The top two free agents are both wings. I think either would fit here with the Bruins. Brock Besser, 28, 25 and 25, 50 points last year. Although him and Elias Pettersson were feuding in Vancouver, similar to how Marchand and Pastrnak were here last year.
Allegedly.
So that's Brock Besser. You have Nikolai Ehlers at age 29, 24, 39, and 63 last year. Those are the two big guys in free agency. So maybe the Bruins take the plunge, and maybe they fix a need right away at noon in free agency. It's not going to be Marchand. So how active do you expect the Bruins to be? They have the money. They have needs where I think two of the top free agents are. How active do you expect them to be?
I think they have to be. They have to be. I mean, you're naming the lines and you're given blanks, and they have the space. They have to go for at least one of those guys. And I think the tricky thing is, because free agency was so, so active so early in terms of other teams signing, trading, whatever, now they're going to have to overpay one of these guys. and you're in a position when you're trying to lay down your new foundation, you're in a rebuild, you don't want to be in the position of having to overpay for, I wouldn't say like scraps or leftovers, but just because of the position that free agency has put you in, like Ehlers, it could be $8 million, $9 million for that guy. And yeah, he's probably what? Like a $5.5, $6 million guy at max?
But I think that's what he was making on his last deal, yeah.
That's what the market's going to dictate because there just isn't that much availability out there. And so you're probably going to have to go for one of those guys. 29 years old, like not completely ideal. And what is he? He's like or I'm thinking of Marco Rossi is like 5'9". So again, you might just be leaning into this much smaller forwards, and that's the way that you're going. None of it is going to be a perfect fit, but I don't think it's a reason for them not to spend money. They're going to have to overspend on one of these guys.
Well, and the question becomes, you know, does ownership, are they desperate to get back in the postseason? It's pretty easy to make the playoffs mm-hmm. in the NHL. You wouldn't know it from watching the Bruins last year, but it's not very difficult. Half the league makes the postseason in the NHL. So what's the drive or, you know, the appetite for ownership to spend again? They did spend in free agency last year. They didn't spend wisely. Swayman's contract, Zadorov, Lindholm. Maybe they didn't spend wisely, but they spent. What's the appetite to do that again after last year? Do they feel burned by it? Or do they double down and try to make a playoff run this year? I think that'll inform what they do when free agency begins at noon. My guess, Mego, is they spend. They try to patch that hole, and they try to quick fix their way back to the postseason.
They usually spend to the cap, right? And what do we hear about the Jacobses all the time? They care about the gate money in playoffs. Like, they want at least a playoff round. And I think it's not so much fan service or trying to look at the big picture of, okay, we got to rebuild towards a Stanley Cup contending team. It's get yourself in a position where you're at least in a round of the playoffs. And I don't want to like jump the gun on what the expectations are, but to your point, it's not that hard to do in hockey. And so you go get one of these guys and somebody else for lower down in your lines, and I think you're probably in a pretty good spot.
617-779-7937. How active do you expect the Bruins to be? How do you feel about Marchand re-upping in Florida? What does it say about the state of the Bruins and the job that Don Sweeney is doing? Again, you can weigh in at 617-779-7937. As Mego said, we'll get into our expectations for both the Bruins and the Celtics this year with free agency underway in one sport and about to begin, call it less than 2 hours from now, 90-ish minutes from now in the NHL. It is in full swing in the NBA. Billy will have some details here in trending. And when we come back, Celtics search for a big man will continue because Luke Kornet no longer a Celtic. What's the latest on Al Horford? How do they replace their bigs? We'll do that right after trending.
Then Luke Kornet, 4 years, $41 million deal. He's no longer a Boston Celtic. He's going to be with the San Antonio Spurs, and that's where we could see some lineups with him, Victor Wembanyama. He'll back up Victor Wembanyama at different points, but that's another key addition for the Spurs.
Luke Kornet, we barely knew ye. Now a San Antonio Spur.
Is he going to bring the barking down there? That's what I want to know.
I would imagine. Why would he stop?
It's nice for him because not only is he getting paid, he is a Texas boy.
Is he?
Yeah.
I guess
Yeah, he's a Texas guy.
I did not know
so
that.
So he's kind of going home. I mean, I don't know. I don't know exactly what part of Texas he's from, but
it's a big state.
I spent a couple years in San Antonio
Born
myself.
Born in Kentucky.
Born in Kentucky.
Yeah, but he was in Texas for a while.
Oh, I don't know. It's all news to me. I didn't know he was born in Kentucky. If you asked me where Luke Kornet was from, I might have guessed Massachusetts. I don't even know. Wait, you spent time in Texas?
Yeah, I lived there for 2 years when I had, my brain couldn't form memories because I was in college. Just kidding. I was a toddler.
You were a youth.
I was a baby.
I see. Luke Kornet, 4 years, $41 million with the Spurs. That's a deep front. Like, that's a weird signing all the way around. It's more money than I thought he was going to get. It's more term than I thought he was going to get.
Him and Wemby.
Yeah, and then, but that's a big front court there, isn't it? Like, that's a big team. And he's going to be a depth guy. It's not like he's getting paid to start. So when I was open to a Kornet return, I was talking $3-5 million a year. Like,
you thought he was going to get $3-4 million?
Well, that's the only way I wanted him back, is to wedge him in under the second apron. I didn't want to carve out Simons, Hauser, even Niang. I didn't want to carve out pieces like that to make room to re-sign Luke Kornet.
I thought that they were going to, do that.
I was fearful they might, but I was not personally on board with that. If he was going to come back and roll into the second apron or under the second apron, and now he's a player who would be here and he doesn't impact your taxes, fine. I didn't want to trade away good players to bring him back. Good guy, I'm sure. Nice enough player. Really good game against the Knicks. But there's a lot of Luke Kornets in the NBA, to me.
There are. I think the question was whether he was going to take a steep discount. And 3 or 4 would have been a really steep discount, even before you see what this, I guess, like about 10.5 per year or whatever that he got in San Antonio. I thought that he would go out on the open market and maybe get 8. And so you could get him for 6 or something like that.
Yep.
And he's somebody that you know works in your system, that you've developed a lot. He was an undrafted guy who then came over here, came up through Maine. Like, you know him really well. And I think that matters to Stevens to understand, like, this is a guy who's going to be developmental and work in the system. But you're right, he's a 6 points per game guy. Like, he improved a lot while he was here. And I love his personality and who he was as a teammate for these guys. But at the same time, there were points where you threw Kornet out there and he'd get a little lost on defensive reads. Like, there was definitely a bigger gap than I think some fans wanted to admit between the Porzingis-Horford starting position and then when you'd go to Kornet. And I love a lot of things about Kornet, but he's still a developmental backup player.
Yeah, exactly. He's a depth piece. Like, San Antonio might be overpaying him, but they're going to have him as a depth piece. That's probably the right spot for him. I didn't need to throw that contract at him. You know, I was hoping he'd come back at a steep discount, but I think, well, obviously that ship has sailed, and I'm not all that broken up over it. I know a lot of Celtics fans are. I'm not all that broken up over it. Horford, you think he's going to Golden State?
It sure sounds like it. It
sounds like there's too many teams involved for the Celtics to have any chance at bringing him back.
It would be more of a surprise at this point, I think, if he came back to the Celtics than if he ended up somewhere like Golden State. And it makes sense. Like, he's almost definitely on the last contract of his career. And it's going to be a tough place for him to play this coming season. Like, with Jason Tatum out, maybe you're sixth seed, fifth seed, like maybe you're somewhere in that area in the Eastern Conference. It's going to be a very different place than he's been in the last couple iterations of these Celtics. So, yeah, I would be surprised if he comes back at this point.
So, I think he's a good fit there, too. I think Golden State is a good fit for him, meaning Horford, where he can kind of play off some of the guys that are there. That should be, I think, a championship caliber team. They were, before Curry got hurt, looking awesome. Yeah.
Out West?
Well, yeah, they were last year.
Did you see the Rockets, though? I mean, the Rockets are like, I'm sorry, you know me, don't count out Ime Udoka.
True.
Like, and the moves that they're making, I know everybody's down on Durant. They think he's old. Like, you don't want him here. I get that. I don't want him here either. I don't think he fits with the timeline or anything. But that's going to be a really good team.
Okay, but I guess when I say, I think they were a title contender last year. I mean, they were rolling before Curry got hurt. And they played really well after the Butler trade, and I think Horford's a good fit there. So when I say title contender, probably not the favorite. It's probably still OKC.
I would say they're in the mix a little bit.
Yeah.
They're a fringe mixer.
OKC, Houston, Minnesota, like that kind of tier, no?
OKC, what are these tiers?
OKC's on its own tier.
OKC and Minnesota are radically different tiers.
OKC's on its own tier.
Okay.
Okay, because I do think OKC is going to repeat. I do think OKC has all the pieces of a budding
dynasty.
Well,
everybody thinks that right after a championship.
Well, and that's true. I fell for it with the Celtics. I fell for it with the Nuggets. I guess I'll fall for it again.
It sure doesn't happen in today's NBA.
But this team is better than those teams. That Oklahoma City team is better than the Celtics. It's better than the Nuggets from 2 years ago.
You think that Oklahoma City team is better than the Celtics?
They won
2 years
more games.
Ago.
They had a better scoring differential.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah.
They also had a way tougher path. A way tougher path. Yes.
I don't think so.
Yes.
I think they will be better eventually. So maybe I'm agreeing with
you.
You
don't think they had a tougher path, or you just don't think they're better?
I think we look in retrospect as the Celtics, like, oh, they didn't have that tough of a path. I know there were some injuries along the way, but they were also much better than the teams in the East. Like, if anything, you could say, okay, it was much more lopsided, where the Celtics were so much better than the other teams in the East when they won the championship than what the OKC had to go through in the West. But I think if you took that team and the team from 2 years ago going up against each other in the finals, the Celtics from that year would win.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. Again, Oklahoma, 68 wins and a scoring differential.
Let's put it in the
plus
simulator.
13 or whatever.
Call up your guy Breslow. He probably has a simulation for
true.
It.
What are Breslow's models on that?
Breslow's like, hold on, I'll take 5 minutes
he's
on
like,
this.
Hang on, I'm 8 non-alcoholic Topo Chico's deep.
How did he know that? How did that tricky Alex Cora read those tipping pitches? Those aren't in my computer system over here.
Don't worry. We'll get to that at 11 o'clock. We'll get to that with Brad Foe as well at High Noon.
The Celtics would win.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
Wow, the model spit that out. That's proprietary, by the way. That's WEEAI is what that is. Yeah, that's our chat bot.
Has that been cleared with legal?
Yeah, well, I think that, I don't know, actually.
AI is a real gray area for a lot of content companies.
I know the lawyers will stick their nose in there, that's for sure.
No, it has not.
Okay. Keep that under wraps,
That's
then.
Proprietary, though. That's the chatbot when you go through the hiring process now at Odyssey, Mega.
Okay.
We've been here a while, but when you go through the new hiring process, that's the chatbot that hires you.
This can be our secret.
WEEAI.
Got it. I'll be waiting my performance review with the chatbot. Like, write more stuff.
So you mentioned tiers. We'll do tier Tuesday.
10 out of 10.
Tier Tuesday.
Thank you.
Coming up an hour from now. We're going to tier off with lots of barbecues going on for the 4th of July, cookouts, things of that nature. We're going to tier off yard games. You know, your cornhole. Don't give any thoughts on them yet. You know, cornhole, horseshoes, things of that nature. Coming up at 11:30, tier
Holy
Tuesday.
Holy moly.
No. Holy board.
Okay.
Is what that is. We have Brad Foe at High Noon and all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. We'll get to the calls here in a moment, but the Celtics are going to be searching for a big. We'll find out how to get it. Maybe they put Niang and Hauser together. Maybe they peel off Simons. Maybe they sign somebody on the veterans minimum like Luka Garza. Any thoughts on him?
Not a lot. I mean, again, if you want to call Luke Kornet a depth piece, I mean, this guy seems really developmental. Very, very early and has been on a two-way contract until very recently with the Minnesota Timberwolves. So I don't think he's really the answer to who's going to be. I know, the Wolves.
The who again?
The Timberwolves.
Wolves.
Did you miss that?
Yes, I forgot. I actually forgot about that. Yeah.
So with Minnesota, so I don't think he's going to be the answer to who's going to be starting over Kata or Tillman, if those are your starters right now.
Luka Garza, if you care, and you probably don't, was an absolute monster in college. I loved him coming out. He's done nothing in the NBA. He's got Hugo Gonzalez level numbers. But, yeah.
Hey, that's very rude.
It's what he has. But he was a player of the year in college, two-time All-American, and a guy I like coming out. Maybe, you know, Brad Stevens, former college hoops guy, maybe he sees something there they can work with. You know, it's not like Luke Kornet when they brought him in was anything special.
Well, but that's what I mean. He's the developmental guy. If you're asking, is this guy going to realistically start above Xavier Tillman or Nemias Keita? No. Those guys are further along in their development. Xavier Tillman, I would say, I don't really know what's happening there, but I'm still higher on Nemias Keita than that guy.
I don't hate a flyer on Luka Garza. I wouldn't exactly expect much there, but I don't hate a flyer on him, to be honest. 617-779-7937. We'll get to Celtics and Bruins expectations coming up. We'll get to the Red Sox at 11 o'clock, again, Tier Tuesday, and Brad Foe as well. Let's start it off with our buddy JP in North Providence. What's up, JP?
The Beast and
Don't wait, JP, you're breaking up a little bit. I know you had a very clever name for what this is. What? Repeat yourself. What is it?
The Beast and the BST Beauty. You know I get the crush on Mago, and she's always great on BST.
You. Thanks.
So I'm also on BST. That nickname could have gone either way, just FYI, JP.
So I got two important 4th of July questions for you, Jones. No. The first, will the missus be making potato salad and or macaroni salad for 4th of July,
Great
Jones?
Question. Great question.
That's when you go to the market to get the extra soda in case she does.
Or?
Way of the Bill Belichick, Adam Jones coaching tree there. Is he gone again? That's an important question.
Okay, so you're breaking up. I think that was a joke about Keith not being here, the Jones coaching tree, which has taken out many producers and co-hosts as well. His question goes back to many years ago. I'm sure you've heard this, Mego. JP references this all the time. In the middle of COVID.
Cat tried to kill you.
Yeah, my wife took up baking, as many people did, to fill time. And she made a batch of cupcakes, muffins, something like that, with legitimately a piece of glass in there that I bit into. And I was like, boy, there's something pretty firm in here. Piece of glass. So my wife tried to murder me. JP likes to bring that up. Is she making anything for 4th of July? I don't know. It's a good question.
I was invited to a cookout, a barbecue, and I was told to bring dessert. And I feel like that's what you give to the least responsible person.
Well, are you going to make it or are you just going to pick something up?
No, I'm going to pick something up. You think I'm going to make dessert?
Stop and Shop. Shaw's and Star Market, I should say. And go bring that in. Yeah.
Also, what kind of dessert do you make? What am I going to make? A cake for like 20 people?
Make muffins with glass in it. Paul is in Abington. Hello, Paul.
Hey, good morning. So I got a quick question. I know it's so early. Season just ended. Draft just happened. People are leaving, but I just need to find out why everyone has already on July 1st high expectations or higher than I would think right now for the Celtics, because you've got Brown, you've got White, you've got Pritchard, who I think, if anything, may take a step back because I think there's going to be more expected from him or could be expected from him, and I don't know if he can handle that or not. Nobody does, but. So you're missing a lot of bigs. There are no bigs on this team other than Kata. Everyone keeps talking about Tillman, but if I'm not mistaken, I think Tillman's like 6'7". He's not a big. He's not a center, at least, even though there's no true centers anymore.
He's small, and I don't think he's healthy either, Paul. So, yeah, I wouldn't count so much on him.
I know there's a lot still to happen. You know, guys get to be picked up, whatever it may be. But right now, I would be hard-pressed to think the Celtics could even sniff the playoffs next year. I have them as a 10, 11, or 12 seed next year right now in my book, because there's nobody left on this team other than Brown and White.
Okay, we'll take a look around at the East. But, Paul, that's a good segue into what we wanted to discuss coming up. What are your expectations for the Celtics? Paul says 11 or 12 in the East. We'll get your thoughts on that and on the Bruins as well. Free agency at high noon in the NHL. It's already in full swing in the NBA. Good time to look at these teams and set our expectations. We'll do that with your phone calls next. Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Mego in for Keefe. We got your phone call, 617-779-7937. Coming up at 11 o'clock, we'll get to the Red Sox offense, maybe turning it around, and it may just be correlated to, you know, cheating. Cheating's too strong of a word.
No.
Pitch tipping.
It's about instincts is what it is.
It's something.
It's about body language.
Yeah, whatever it is, I'm on board with it. I'll tell you that right now.
It's about a lot of things that Breslow's computer can't understand.
Well, that's true. There's a human element for sure going on last night. So we'll get to that. Some comments from Alex Bregman as well. Rob Bradford is going to talk to us on a Tuesday this week.
It's not an Apple Watch.
It's definitely not that. High noon. We'll be talking to Bradfo, and we got Tiers Yard Games at 11:30. So we'll be tiering those off on a Tier Tuesday here on WEEI. Your expectations, let's start with the Celtics, Mego. Mm-hmm. And I understand, you know, the full snapshot of the team. We don't know what the full picture looks like in the front court. We don't know if Anfernee Simons, for instance, is here long term or not. Hauser, Niang, names like this. What's your expectation for the Celtics without Jason Tatum this upcoming season?
So I definitely think that they have to figure something out more with the center position. Like they having this as the setup for your bigs is very stressful to me. And I really thought that they would at least have Luke Kornet as some kind of stopgap there while they figured the situation out. And now that's not going to happen. I'm not that confident with the Horford situation with him coming back here. And I don't even know if that makes sense with the timeline of what contract that he wants, his age, Tatum being out for a year. All that to say, I see them as like a sixth or seventh seed. I see them as a first round playoff team. Maybe they get bounced in the first round. Maybe they have a lot of momentum. They follow the lead of Jaylen Brown and they turn into like this very physical, feisty, defensively based team. And they get a nice, easy, soft seed that's higher than them but hasn't really earned it. And they get through to the second round. Beyond that, I don't think these are going to be like the IT bridgey teams or anything like that. I think they're going to be an early playoff round team.
So, not to nitpick, there is a big difference between 6 and 7, right? Because you're either out of the play-in or in the play-in.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I'd have to see it. If they're the 6th seed, but they win 46 games and, you know, they're scrappy, then that's probably roughly what I'm talking about. I think they should win 50-ish. I think they should be a top 4 seed. I don't,
because the East is weak.
Yeah, and just look at a team like the Pacers. The Pacers last year were the 4 seed. I think every team over 500 in the East last year was a top 6 seed, so they would have avoided the play-in. Orlando was exactly 500, the 7th seed off the top of my head. Indiana won 50 games, they were the 4 seed last year. I think right now you're not as deep as Indiana, but I think top end talent wise, you're better than Indiana right now. And they were in the NBA Finals. They won 50 games. They were a top 4 seed. So you do need to fill out your front court, But I don't think you need to do anything drastic to be that in the East next year.
There's still some movement to be had, but the East is just so strange. As we sit here today, you're probably going to have New York, Orlando, Atlanta, like, might be towards the top of the East. Who knows with the Bucks? They're probably going to hang on to Giannis. And then it gets very, very saggy. Like, beyond
you don't
that,
have Cleveland in there?
Just, oh, yeah, Cleveland, of course. Cleveland, of course. But beyond that, it's like anything. So I think that those lower seeds are going to be really up for grabs. To the last caller's point, having Jaylen Brown and Derek White and Peyton Pritchard is still better off than a lot of teams in that saggy group in the East. So I'd be shocked if you're not, yeah, the Saggers.
Yeah.
I'd be shocked if you're not a 6 or 7 seed.
Yeah, like I wouldn't brace for that last
Something
caller.
Something will have gone very wrong with the team.
Last caller said 11 or 12
seed. No, that's crazy.
That happens. That's a massive, massive failure.
That happens. A lot of people are losing their jobs.
I think if they're in the play-in, I don't know if people lose their jobs if they're in the play-in, but
no,
I would
if
consider,
you're 11 or 12.
No, I agree. If they're 11 or 12, even Missoula, who I think has, you know, talking about having some cover, I think Missoula has some cover this year because of the Tatum injury. If they're the 11 or 12 seed and you're missing even the play-in, then his job could be in jeopardy. I would consider it a massive disappointment if you're in the play-in. How about for the Bruins? And the reason I ask, on Twitter, DFA tweets in at Jones and Keefe. Guys, Connor McDavid is a free agent next year. I'm sure he wants out after losing the finals. Tank this year. Team sucks. Keep the money and spend it on McDavid next year. So that's one expectation for the team, tank for Connor McDavid. What is your expectation for the Bruins with free agency a little over an hour away?
I just don't really think that's how this front office does business. Like, that, I think that they felt pretty sheepish about being in the gutter the last several months of the season. And then they hold up, hey, look, we're able to actually go for forward centers in the draft because we're so high up in the draft. We usually can't take this risk. That's what we heard when they came out of the draft. I don't think that they'll do that 2 years in a row. So I think the Connor McDavid thing seems like a real pipe dream. Who knows? Stranger things have happened. But to me, they're kind of in a similar place as the Bruins, where I feel like that's a team that will probably be in one round of playoffs, and the Jacobsons will be happy with that because they get to sell those tickets, and then they can say that there's a perennial playoff contender.
I would
again.
Say getting back to the Stanley Cup playoffs would be a nice step for them, and it's very doable. I think that's very, very doable. Again, half the league makes the playoffs in the NHL. I think that should be an easy ask for this team, which before they blew it up at the trade deadline, and they really blew it up at the trade deadline, They were still in the mix for a playoff spot at that point in time. They really fell off afterwards, but they were still tangentially in the mix, even with a down year. They should be a playoff team. I think that's a simple, basic expectation for them. I do agree with the Twitch chat. I think it was rather be golfing in there. McDavid's not coming here. So you want to put all your eggs in that basket, tank, have a horrible season, lose out on a playoff gate and everything else, which could get your new coach fired right after year one. Although maybe it would be a means to an end to get Sweeney and Neely fired as well. And then,
yeah, but they're not going to do that to themselves.
You're putting all your eggs in the McDavid basket? Why would he want to come to, if you were tanking and terrible?
Right.
Why would he want to come here?
He's waiting for the great BC tidal wave.
I mean, maybe. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe he...
Marianne's isn't even open anymore.
Others
like, they don't have anything cool to show Connor McDavid.
Others have a big problem with BC players. Maybe McDavid doesn't. I don't know. Maybe
did you ever
he
make it over
issue.
To the old Marianne's?
Yes, I did.
It's like the sister bar to Beacon Hill Pub.
What, were they sister bars?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know
were.
That. I made it to the old Marianne's. I made it to, I don't know if Rogie's is still there. I would go to some of those BC
What's
bars
Rogie's?
Over there. Rogie's was a BC bar.
Sounds creepy.
I want to say it had pizza.
Oh,
which pretty
never
nice.
Mind. It sounds wonderful.
It was pretty nice, actually, is what it
That's
was.
That's all it takes?
Yeah. Pizza, pitchers, I believe, unless I'm confusing that with another bar. I think that was another BC bar, yeah.
Marianne's was the sister bar to Beacon Hill Pub, and then the same restaurant group bought both of them and is converting them into, like, nice, reasonable restaurants, which is very sad.
Yeah,
big loss.
I don't like a nice, reasonable restaurant.
No,
I want a pitcher and, like, a sticky floor. That's what I want.
Someplace you don't want to walk into before it's 6 p.m.
Exactly. Kelly is in Amherst. Go ahead, Kelly.
Hey, what's up, guys? So, yeah, I'm hearing all the Celtics talk here. I definitely agree that the guy that said they're down to number 10, that's a little bit off base. It's just like you're not watching basketball. If you remember from last year, the team would run out their B squad a lot of games. They wouldn't even start guys, and they would still blow out some teams. Mm-hmm. So I think the Celtics B squad is still good enough to put them into third or fourth. I'm with you on that one. And as for the Horford talk, I'm not too worried about Horford coming back because obviously this team's not going anywhere in the time that Horford's going to be good enough to do anything. But I don't want him going to some, you know, enemy team and it turning into a Ray Allen situation.
Okay, so Mego brought this up yesterday. I don't think the Warriors fit that, but LeBron and the Lakers might if they brought him in.
I see the Warriors much more as your big brother. I think, like, when you look at a lot of members of the Celtics team, they see it that way because of the 2022 finals. But even when it was IT's team, it felt a little bit that way. They would always challenge the Warriors when the Warriors were on their hottest streak of that dynasty. So I don't see them as an enemy. Like, besides the Lakers, especially with LeBron, who's somebody who would really gross you out if Horford went to?
Yeah, I mean, Celtics
have been basically Miami, running over a lot of teams for a while.
If Miami
so
still had Butler and were more competitive, like maybe Miami?
Nah, I feel like that's in the rear view.
Maybe, but I don't think they have a real one right now, to be honest, that you would feel gross about him
there. What about going to Milwaukee and playing with Giannis? Because a lot of people don't like Giannis.
Yeah, is Giannis even still going to be there?
Jalen called Giannis a child.
Yeah, is Giannis even still going to be there?
I think he's going
to
be there.
I think at this point, it'd probably be smart to hang on to him if you're Milwaukee. By the way, the 11-12 seed last year in the East won 30 and 26 games. Toronto and Brooklyn. They were 8-2, if you count the playoffs.
Do you remember that these teams are in the Eastern Conference? Like, you have Toronto, Brooklyn, Washington. You think you're going to be an 11th or 12th seed? No way.
They were 8-2 and 10-3 counting the playoffs without Tatum last year. They had a win. They were like 39-11 or something like that without Porzingis.
I don't really count those.
Okay, but I'm just saying, like, they were beating up on bad teams. Fine. I mean, they were 2-1 in the playoffs without him, including against the team that made the Eastern Conference Final. So they're not going to win 30 or 26 games. They'll at least be 500-ish, which would make them the 7th seed in the play-in in the East. And I think they should be better than that. What do you guys think? 617-779-7937. We have NBA free agency started up last night. NHL free agency, little over an hour from now. We'll react to each, and we'll get to the Red Sox. They actually won a game last night.
Yeah.
Is the offense turning around? And if it is, why is the offense turning around? Let's get to that next.